You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Week we began a new series called Offer, and if this is your first time here with this series, we're talking about money in the church. Yes, it's happening right in front of you, right before your eyes, because Jesus talks about money. The Bible talks about money, so we're going to talk about it. And on top of that, we're talking about not just money in the church, but why you need to give money to the church. What? Yes, because it's okay to talk about this, because this has nothing to do with the checking account of MC3. It has everything to do with the opportunity that we as followers of Jesus have to worship Him and to trust Him. Last week we talked about how God is the owner of everything anyway. It is His. It is all His stuff. God is the owner. Our God, our job is just to follow Him and do, I forget what the second part of that was. It's what? Manage, yes, thank you. Our job is to manage. God is the owner, our job is to manage. It's His stuff. And so we're going to be kind of talking about that. Each of these weeks are going to be folding together as we go over some things. Whoa, what's going on here? Back up. Huh. Okay, black screen for me. All right, we're not quite there yet. Can you hit the black button? No, you can't? Okay. All right. Before you see what's on the screen, why don't we hit the house lights here, please? And I need someone that does not know a thing about movies. I'm looking for someone that doesn't, is not really a movie fan. That's not their spot. That's not, yeah, right. Someone that is not interested in movies, doesn't know much about it, because I need you to help me out with a little quiz we've got going on here. And this quiz is, you're going to have audience help, but I need you to come up and be a part of this. So who would consider themselves to not be a movie person? You're not a movie person? Hold on. We got some. You seem a little too confident to me, Mike. You seem like you might know something. But Lacey's looking like she's even hesitant to raise her hand. You know nothing. All right. Well, could somebody please take one of those beautiful babies from Lacey? Okay. No. Okay. Stop the run. Stop the fight. Oh. Now, who was? Which one was that? That was Matt. Okay. All right. Why don't we give it up for Lacey? Come on up here, and you can take the steps here. So, okay, watch that spot there. We don't want you to trip at all. There. Okay, so, this is Lacey. All right, and Lacey, you're going to help me with the quiz. We're going to have some things on the screen here. In the audience, you're going to have about 5 seconds to help her. So you have to keep quiet until I give you your 5 seconds of time to give her some advice, some input as to the answer. So what we're going to do is, there's a theme here, and the theme is, you're going to help us to decide, or you're going to answer. We're not helping. We're helping you to what in these scenes. They're all movie heist scenes, thievery, robbery, stealerage. Unlike Pittsburgh with the A, it's an A, STEAL. But we're going to show you kind of a person. You're going to have some options, so we're helping you out a little bit. Some multiple choice here to decide what are they about to steal. And the audience isn't going to say anything, but we're not even giving them 5 seconds. We're going to give them 3 seconds. 3 seconds to help you once I say. And so you can listen to who you think you might trust, or you can just go on your own, okay? All right, and so we're going to turn this mic on just so we can, because we're recording all this. So it's going to go down forever that you don't know anything about music. Okay. So here is your first scene thing. So you've got that guy there. What is he about to steal? So you're pausing it right there, I think. Okay, is he about to steal a trapeze, a computer disc, secret chemicals, or a satellite? So I have a few minutes, a few seconds to think about it. Okay, audience, you've got 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1, time up.
I'm going to go with B, a computer disc.
B, a computer disc. Okay, let's see what he's about to steal. There's a little pause there, that's okay.
Get moving. Toast. Toast.
And yes, you were correct. It was a computer disc. So you are 1 for 1. So you are doing better than Penn State. Okay. Yeah, I know. It was rough, man. Rough. Yesterday was good. Yay, we won against Rutgers. Anyway, so here's your next one here. The next, what is this person about to steal? Let's see. We're going to go back in time a bit. Okay. What are they about to steal? A Tiffany lamp? A painting? A statue? Or Batman? So, all right, our audience, ready? We got 3, 2, 1. Time.
According to the
Unks. Why would you ever listen to them? It's an old movie with Audrey Hepburn. Why would they ever know anything about that? Okay, so let's see what the answer is. And there it is. The statue they were trying to steal. So, well, good job. She's 2 for 2. All right. Anybody know the name of the name of that movie? No, it wasn't Breakfast at Tiffany's. See, that was a deception. I tried to throw you off. Okay. I don't know if... Do you know the answer? Okay, good. She knows the answer. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Okay. Oh, wait. We went ahead. Okay. All right. So I don't know if you can see that. The guy back there, he's wearing a cowboy hat. That was kind of important in the scene before the words came up. But what is he about to steal? Is it A, a safe, B, a jewel box, C, an Egyptian tablet, or D, a car? Okay, audience, go! 1, 2, 3, all right.
I'm going to go C, an Egyptian tablet.
You're going to go with C, an Egyptian tablet. Okay, let's see what the answer is. It looks like a safe. Looks like a safe. Actually, that was a trick question, because they didn't steal anything, because the safe was blown out of the side of the train. They were trying to steal it. But Egyptian tablet was wrong, but safe would have been wrong, too. So that's okay. We still give her a round of applause just for your good attitude. All right, very good. Okay, so finally, this is what we... So you've got 2 out of 3. There's 4 total. So you have a chance to either break even or not. Okay. Okay. So here's your next little scene. Okay. What are they about to steal? Nakatomi Plaza, a transcoder, the Death Star plans, or some Stark technology? Like, what? You have disqualified the audience, and so is Eric. All right, you'll get 2 seconds, because earlier you said it. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. Okay, time.
I'm going to go with C.
C, the Death Star plans. Okay, let's see what happens.
You have to. They have to hit that gate. If the shield's open, we can send the plans.
Plans. He said plans.
Bye-bye.
try this at home. And then that music goes on incessantly longer and longer as they slowly make their way to the top. But wait, they don't get there because, of course, the bad guy shows up and stops them. Spoiler! Anyway, but you got that correct. So you were 3 for 4. That is 75%. In our world, that's great. That's pretty good. Yeah, in baseball, that's amazing. And in school, it's kind of like, that's a D. And no, that's like school is all set against you. Like, it's all about how you are not any good. Anyway, but you did a wonderful job. Yeah, and you were even a teacher.
I was.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Why don't we give it up for Lacey? Safely, please. Twins. All right, so that was a little heist quiz, all these different things. And I think we actually covered 4 different decades. That was accidental as I was watching that. 4 different decades of movies, so hopefully one of those you recognize as a good thief movie. But I want to talk about stealing and thievery and robbery and the idea of taking something that's not yours. And there's actually a passage in the Bible where God talks about this. But before we get to that passage, I want to just help you understand and reinforce, mention the point today that I want you to walk away with. And that is this. God is the provider. Our job is to trust. God is the provider. Our job is to trust. Now, we talked about money last week and said that it's all God's. God is the owner. Our job is to manage it. We are managing it for Him. We are His property management association. We are the ones that have been given responsibility to deal with it. And I want you to get this next step, because the last week you're like, again, we said last week, if you don't grasp this idea that it's all His, then you've already started wrong. But if you're saying, okay, yes, it's all God's, now what? Because I think this is probably one of the hardest steps when it comes to our money, when it comes to giving, is this idea of trust. And so we're going to look at a passage here in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And so if you have YouVersion, you can tap on Malachi, tap on chapter 3, because we're going to be in Malachi chapter 3. And we're reading this passage. Malachi was a prophet. If you guys were here for the Word 3 series six, 7 months ago, we talked about Malachi and how the people of Israel had been exiled from their land. They'd been sent to Babylon and then had returned to their land. And Nehemiah went to rebuild the temple walls. Ezra went to rebuild the temple. I can't even say that word, rebuild. And so the people were all excited during that time. And then just a few hundred years later, the people of Israel had already again turned their back on God. And so Malachi was sent to the people of Israel as a prophet to speak on behalf of God, to tell them some things that they needed to hear. And so in Malachi chapter 3, we're reading this passage here that Malachi is sharing with the people, speaking on behalf of God. And he says, "Will a mere mortal rob God?" There's that robbery. "Yet you rob me. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." So here you are. What context? Again, the people of Israel had returned to the land. That was kind of the land for them. That was their place. That was home. I mean, you would get that if someone took you away from your home and you had to hang out somewhere else for a long time. They finally were able to go back to their land and restore their worship of God and realize how much God had done for them. And everything was good. And then over just a few years, a generation or two, they had completely drifted away. And so here Malachi is saying, look, you guys need to fix it. You are robbing God. They are robbing. They are stealing from God. How do we steal? We take something that does not belong to us. And these people were stealing from Him. They were robbing from Him. And now they didn't have cash the way we do. Their offering was in their grains and in their surplus and the things that they had in the crops, because they were an agrarian society. So they were farmers. And so they had to give God from what they raised. If it was sheep, they gave sheep. And I know sheep isn't grain. I get it. But if it was corn, whatever it was that they earned, what they made, they were to give that to God. And we'll talk more about that. But this is the great grain robbery. Thank you for the chuckle, because Mr. Lewis sends me weekly puns, because I am all about the dad joke and the bad pun and all of that. But the great grain robbery, and I want to talk about a couple of things here when it comes to our money. Now, this passage is in the Old Testament. This was written, Malachi is speaking to the people of Israel. And back during our crop series, we talked about how Israel's promises are our principles. We are not Israel. We are the church. It's kind of a new thing. But there are things we learn about God from what's going on in the Old Testament. And so there's some things we can learn, because you're gonna hear in a second about the Old Testament law, and that doesn't apply to us. There is no temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is living in us. And so there's some things here that we need to understand, but there's some principles that we can take away and say, okay, that is something that we need to do. The first thing that we need to understand from this passage is that when we fail to give, we rob God. So, for the people of Israel, when they failed to give, they robbed God. For us, when you don't give, you rob God. You steal from Him. And that's pretty harsh. Yes, it is. Because we need to understand it's all His to begin with. And when you fail to give and you think, well, I can't afford this, I don't have enough, I don't have what I need, you're essentially saying, God, you know what? You don't know what's going on. I do. And so we say, well, I'm not going to put that in the offering bucket, which is our scenario here. And in the process, we say, God, I'm stealing from you. I'm robbing from you. And I'll tell you what, like, you know, robbery is kind of a rough, like, I don't know, like, when it comes to life, if you stole something from somebody else, that would be a big deal. If somebody stole something from you, you would be upset. And Malachi is saying that when we fail to give, we are robbing God. So this is what he says in the first part there. He says, will a mere mortal rob God? In verse 8, yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? And that's the answer, in tithes and offerings. So what does this mean? This is where the Old Testament principle comes into place. Because the law that God gave Moses at the top of Mount Sinai, that the people were to follow, it was their rules, it was the different things they had to do. There were 10 commandments, of course, we know. And then there were many, many different case laws, different examples of things they had to do. And one of them was this idea called the tithe. And tithe is the Hebrew word that I looked up, and tithe means tithe, which is really annoying. I'm like, oh, thanks. But then it said it also means tenth. So tithe is a word that means tenth. And so the Hebrew people, the Israel people, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, whatever, they're all the same kind of heading there. They were instructed by their law to give God a tenth of everything that they got. So if they grew sheep, then they were to give God a tenth of their sheep. So if they had 100 sheep, they were to give God 10. Yes. And that's a percentage, and we'll talk about percentage in a little bit. And so if they gave, I'm not even going to talk about other numbers. So, but if they grew corn or soybeans or tobacco, because that was all about the tobacco for the Israelites, right? If they were to grow, what they didn't grow was pigs. But if they were doing it, whatever they got, they were to give God 10%. 10%, a tithe. And it was a requirement. And part of the reason they did this, and this is kind of a long story, but they were to bring it as an offering of worship to the temple. To the temple where the people worshiped God. God dwelled in His presence, dwelled in the temple above the ark. And they were to bring it there. And part of the issue was that in this offering, you were giving up something and trusting God with it. And we'll get to that in a second. But the idea of tithes and offerings, and the word offering actually means kind of an above and beyond thing. That's what that word means. It's this idea of a special gift. And so the people, their law said, you are to give God a tenth of everything. And we'll talk about why in a moment. But they weren't doing that. And so Malachi had to bring the smack down and say, look, people, you are not following God. You're showing up and doing your worship thing, but really you're not. You're actually robbing God. You're stealing from Him. You're not giving Him what you are supposed to. You are not giving Him what He is owed, because they weren't giving. And it says they weren't giving tithes and offerings, and so does that mean they weren't giving their 10%? Probably. They were supposed to give 10%, and we'll come back to this percentage idea, but they were supposed to give 10. And if they were given 8, that's not 10. You're robbing God of 2%. Because it was all His. Do you understand that? It was all His to begin with. And so the people were robbing God, and Malachi said, that's enough. This is wrong. Because they were robbing God. So when we fail to give, we rob God. Now, we don't have the rule of the tenth, and we'll talk about that as we wrap up this morning, but the same principle applies, that it is all God's. Everything you have comes from God. And everything that we have comes from Him. And this idea of giving means we're trusting Him. But if we hold back, we're robbing from Him. Which then leads into the second point, and that is when we choose to give, we trust God. And this is the clincher. This is the issue for us. Because I don't think there are people in this room that are people listening online that are going to say, you know what, I don't want to give God nothing. And maybe you're upset, maybe you're bitter, maybe you don't believe in God and Jesus, and you know, that's I get that. But for the most part, I think we're like, yeah, God, this is all yours. But then we run into the trust wall. Because when we give 10%, and for the Israelites, when they gave 10%, that meant that they had 10% less to use on other things. They had 10% less for whatever their needs were. It meant that they had 10% less of income. Because if they were, you know, if they raised sheep and they sold their sheep, they're not selling 10% of those sheep. And so that money wasn't coming to them. And so whatever their bills were, whatever their issues were, they were giving that up by giving the tithe. And when we give, we are trusting God. When we choose to give. And so this is what he goes on and says in verse 9. He says, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. And this word curse, he's saying, like, you guys are powerless. You're like, things aren't working, things aren't going right. And you're like, why? And God's like, because you're robbing me. But God, come through. Well, why don't you obey me first and then watch me come through? Because a lot of times we can figure it out. And we talked about that last week at the very end. And we talked about the parable of the 10 minas. And, you know, the way we manage our money shows who is really the king of the money. If you are the king of your money, you're going to manage your money for you. If God is the king of your money, you're going to manage your money for Him, and you're going to trust Him for it. But when we say, no, I can't afford that, you are saying, God, you can't do it. You are saying, God, you're not in charge. Because we're saying, no, we're holding on to it. God, you don't deserve it. God, it's mine. God, I've got it figured out. And God is essentially saying, okay then. Go with that. How's that working for you? Well, the bills keep stacking up. Okay, you got it figured out. You figured it out. Well, my car. Well, okay. And what you need to understand here is that the people had to trust God because He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And so obviously they weren't even giving the 10% they were supposed to, that there may be food in my house. And this idea is a big deal. Because for us, we're in a society, I mean, like, I got a new phone finally, I was complaining, I know, and talking about getting the upgrades, but I have a phone that works, and I love it. And I was just thinking the other day how, you know, I can do everything with my phone now. It's all literally at my fingertips. I can pay for things with my phone, I can go to Giant and use my bonus card on my phone, I can do everything with my phone. I can book movie tickets with my phone, I can reserve places at certain restaurants with my phone. And we are in this society today where we almost feel like we don't need God. And I'm not blaming culture or anything like that, but I'm just saying the reality is there are so many things that we can do, that we can fix, that we handle. Where, and just to give you perspective, during the time that this book was being written, during the time that Malachi is speaking, these people were agrarian. I said, they're farmers. And let me tell you something, and I know, I'm city boy Sean, I get it. You don't grow sheep, I don't think. but here's the deal. When you're a farmer, you are 100% at the mercy, at the whim, whatever you want to call it, of God. Because if it's cold and it doesn't rain, then your crops aren't going to grow. If the frost comes too soon, I used to spend my summers in Florida with my grandparents. And I remember that was a huge deal. Oh, yeah, there was an early frost that killed the orange crop. Like, really? Yeah, that was it. And so when you're in a society that's farming, you have to depend on God. And God is going, look, people, just trust me. And they're saying, but you don't understand. There was a drought, God. There was a drought this year, and we did not get anywhere near as much corn as we needed. And so we've got these kids to feed. There's all 70 of them because I'm a good Jewish person with all of my kids. You know, how are we going to do this? We've got the chariot wheel broke. And God knows. So, you know, look, there was a drought. I'm just going to hold on to this because I need this money, God. And God is saying, no, you're missing it. Because when you've got it all figured out, you don't need God. When we've got it all figured out, we don't need Him. And when we don't need Him, and that's obviously in quotes. There we go. We have in our prime group, a quote sound that we make. But anyway, you know, we don't need God. And this idea, like, well, if we don't need God, we've got it all figured out. And God is saying, look, trust me. Give me what I ask and watch me come through. And this word curse means powerless. And we're like, oh, I don't get to see God do much. Do you ever get to a point where you have to trust God? We get it all figured out. God says, trust me, and then you will see me come through. And for this society and for us today to say, okay, God, I'm going to give. I'm looking at my bills, and I'm just telling you, I'm going to go anti most money management principles right here and say, let's trust God beyond the black and white, the black and red, the checking account, the account management techniques and all those things I talked about last week, stewardship principles, those things that kind of sometimes get misused. Let's just say, God, what do you want me to do? And if God says, I want you to give, and for the Israelites it was 10%, then do it. Because when it doesn't work out on paper for you, you know where you are? You're in a spot where you have to trust. You're in a spot where you have to go, God, I don't know what's going to happen here. But God says to do it, so I'm going to do it. And understand here, this is the issue with the Israelites. They were told to give 10%. This isn't a, hey, I'm looking for some money, so why don't I give away 20 bucks and hopefully I'll get more? No. If God says, hey, I want you to give away 20 bucks, then you give away 20 bucks and trust Him. But this isn't an issue of like some kind of weird, you know, trade-in payment, get-rich-quick scheme thing or something. This is an issue of saying, okay, God, you want me to do this? I'm going to do it and then have to trust you for the results. And that's what we need to understand, because I think that's the wall. That's the wall with giving. That's the wall with us saying, okay, it's time for the buckets to be passed. And we'll talk about how this is worship. We'll bring that together in the last week. But this starts with this trust factor. When it doesn't all work out and God says to do it, you have to decide, who do you believe, you or God? Who is the one that's going to come through for you, you or God? And then we're like, well, it doesn't make sense. I don't have enough. You don't understand. I have these extra expenses. They cut my overtime, so God, you're not going to get it. And so then God basically says, you're under a curse. And again, I'm not saying like, you know, ababa kadabba, you know, and none of that. Nothing like that, but just the idea of, what's the bad one? Habada kadabra. Anyway, Harry Potter. But this idea is saying like, you know, it's not like that. He's saying, you're missing, you're powerless, you are cursed because you're not in a spot where you need me to come through. And so fine, good luck with that. Figure it out. And the problem is, we don't. And then we get to the end and we're like, God, why? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because you didn't give to me first. Because you didn't trust me enough with my money. And as Kendra was singing during her prayers, we were singing too, this idea that God is the one thing, everything to me. We sing that and we say, God, you're everything. And I think we said this a couple weeks ago too. You're everything except for my wallet, except for my account. I trust you with everything else. And we do. But there's something about this money thing. And I think that's why Jesus talks about it so much. And that's why if you guys have been in Prime Group last week in the video, you know, the idea of the rich young ruler, he went away sad. Why? Because money was catching him up. He did everything else, but that was his Achilles heel. That was his issue. And he says to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. So the first thing is when we fail to give, we rob God. But when we choose to give, we trust God and understand that. This isn't an issue of oh, yeah, no problem. I'll just do it. It's crazy. No, it's an issue of saying, okay, God, you want me to give this. And I'm doing it. And you need to come through. And if you don't come through, I'm screwed. And that's important to get. Before we go on to the next thing here, that it's all God's and He tells us to give. And so you need to give. And if you're in a spot where it doesn't make sense and this is what God wants you to do, you're in a good spot. Because now your investments aren't going to come through for you. That extra overtime isn't going to come through for you. Those things you were going to sell isn't going to come through for you. The only thing that can come through for you now is God. And that is a great place to be. Because when we put that money in the bucket, and again, we're talking about giving in terms of worship in our Sunday morning context here. You're saying, God, this is money I could use. Dude, it's money I could use. But I'm giving it to you because I trust you. Because you've called me to do this. And I don't know how it's all going to work out, but God, when you come through, and I'm spoiler a little bit here, but when you come through, then we can worship Him. Say, God, praise God. Thank you. Which leads us to the third thing here. When we trust and give, God will provide. When we trust and give, God will provide. And again, we're not talking about a get rich quick. This isn't a pyramid scheme where you give this and then they'll give and God will spend and then you touch the screen and suddenly, you know, none of that. I mean, televangelists have done wonderful things for money in the church. But God will provide. Why do we know that? Because He said He will. And look at the rest of verse 10 in Malachi. So, it's God's. We need to give. We don't give, we're robbing Him. When we give, we have to trust Him. This is what He says to that. Test me in this. Put your money where your mouth is. Stop whining. Like, we don't have enough. Shut up and give. Test me in this. And the funny thing, we were talking about this in our Prime group this past week. You know, I didn't do a full search of the word test. But most of the time in the Bible, it says, don't test God. But here, God says, test me. Try it out. Prove it. Put it to the test. So God says, okay, I don't know. I don't know. And we never get to this point. Yeah, I'll put that back in my pocket. And He says, test me. Try me out. And He says, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there won't even be enough room to store it. You're like, I didn't have enough. Test me in this and I will give you more than enough. Step out and trust me. And again, for their society, He's saying, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. You think it was a tough year. Well, who's in control of the pests? Who's in control of the insects? God. And the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe. Who's in control of the weather and the drought? And oh no, we lost the crop. God. He says, test me and see if I do not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room. And understand this word blessing. We've talked about that a lot. You know, it doesn't mean God's making you rich. Are you going to be happy? But the word blessing has this idea of God is at work in your life. And when God is at work in your life, you are blessed. That is a wonderful place to be. And if you are the poorest person ever, and God is at work in your life, you're going to say things like, I don't need anything. God's at work in my life. Praise God. Things are good. Like, because we have this idea, like, rich and God aren't, just this weird meh. But God says, just give, trust me, and watch what I can do, because I am God. You think God doesn't have control over the tires you need for your car? You think God doesn't have control over the job that you have? Do you think God doesn't have control over your health or your medical expenses or any of these things? God is in control. We sang the greatness of our God. God's got it all. We're just not willing to trust Him for it. And He says, just test me. Try it out. Do it. You won't be disappointed. I've learned in my almost 20 years of marriage that my wife can cook. And my wife knows good stuff. And I have gotten to the point where I'll get that phone call around 2 o'clock or that text 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Here's what I'm thinking for dinner. I thought we could take, like, mushrooms and dip them in, like, I don't know, soy sauce, and then scramble them with some eggs, put pancake batter on it, and add icing. And I'll go, that sounds really gross. But I've learned to test her in this. I've learned to trust her. And I'll tell you what, I'm like, this sounds so disgusting. Oh, that is good. Who knew that icing and mushroom dipped in soy sauce could be such a wonderful thing? Did I say icing, ice cream? Either way, who knew it was so good? Because, like, whoa. And God says, test me in this. And here's the thing. When we test God, we'll be like, oh, wow, God came through. Wow. And then we're going to go, you want more? Okay. This is what you're asking me to do? Fine. I love being a part of giving. I love to give. And this is something that is, if my parents are listening, sorry, Mom and Dad, but I did not grow up being generous. This idea is so foreign to me the way I grew up. And I've gotten to this point in my life, and my wife has been such a big part of that. Kendra just driving me like, is it mine or is it his? Is it mine? Is it his? Is it mine? Is it his? It's his. And we have watched God come through over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, there's a $50 joke in our house. Because, and I don't say this is a principle that you're supposed to walk away with, but if we see a need, like, just over the last couple of weeks, there's been different things where, like, okay, God wants us to give. Okay, here's $50 towards that. Then the next day I go to Lowe's. Do you know the exact amount of money that I got in the return that I got? $50. Okay, let's give that away. And then I went somewhere else and there was someone who said, oh, here's $50 for, because we owed you this. What? Like, it can't give it away enough. And God keeps giving it back. And we're like, fine, give it away. And I think that's a principle. I think that's what management is all about. When you talk about the parable of the 10 stewards, when you talk about the parable of the 10 minas, God's like, hey, the people that are giving it away, I'll keep giving it to them so they can keep giving it away. And the more we give it away, the more we go, wow, look what God is doing. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. He says, test me in this. Because I will provide. And then the cool thing about the last part, he says, then all the nations will call you blessed. For yours will be a delightful land. Because as we start to give, people are like, what is it about you? How is it that you're making through this right now? Tell me about what is going on. And we can say, God. Then we have a story to tell. And now the story isn't even about us. It's about people noticing us and saying, how in the world is this possible? And you can say, Jesus. And then people are like, I want to know this Jesus. Oh, let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you what He has done for you. Let me tell you how He died for you on the cross because He loves you so much. And then what if your giving, your generosity, and watching God come through is how God uses you to bring someone else to an eternity in heaven apart with Jesus rather than an eternity in hell apart from Him? Because it's all tied together and it's all about giving God the glory. It's all about the worship that is going to Him. So the Israelites, their issue was robbing God of the tenth. We don't have that tenth rule. We are not under that law. We are not sacrificing animals at the temple gates. There, none of those things are in place. However, the idea that it is God's money and that we are called to give, and when we give, we can trust Him. those principles are true for us today. So, when we fail to give, we rob God. When we choose to give, we trust God. When we trust and give, God will provide. Now, let me tell you, let's just kind of make this a little bit more concrete. So, the idea is that if it's all God's money, and that when we don't give, we're robbing from Him. Imagine this. And again, I'm going to share this story, but I want you to be aware that it is purely fiction. Because I talked about last week, I stay away. I don't even touch the offering bucket. So someone gives it to me, I'm like, no. If someone has, hey, can you put this in the bucket? I'm sorry, like, no, I'm going to be a jerk. You need to put that in the bucket because I don't even want to, I want my integrity and that to be completely disconnected or connected, or whatever. I don't want to be connected with the idea, oh, he might be taking money. No. But I get a paycheck twice a month from MC3 Incorporated. That's how we feed our family. And you know, roofs and heat and all that good stuff. And but imagine if I'm like, you know what, I'm not sure I'm going to get my check this month. You know, it's coming up, and I don't know, it's the check payment day, the holiday, you know. So instead, I went to the back and pushed Gene aside and took some money out of the bucket. Now, understand, I didn't take an inordinate amount. I just took the amount that I was due. It was my paycheck. It's what I deserve. It's mine. And then I just stuck it in my pocket, and you know, it was the exact amount after taxes. I did the math. It was insane. I figured it out right the way. And I took that amount. Or even if I go to the next level and you know, they're getting ready to take it to the bank and I ram my car, and I guess that would be inappropriate. I don't want to do that. That'd be bad. I pull my car out in front and stop them from going to the bank. And I say, give me my money now. And I pull out my knife. This one. And I get, I demand my money. And it's given to me. And I guess what you need to understand is that it's my money. It's what I'm owed. I mean, it's not like I'm taking anything that doesn't already belong to me. And this is what Malachi is saying, is the same thing. Is that it's God's money. And we feel like, well, no, I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to take it ahead of time, God. I'm going to decide what it's going to happen to it before it goes through the process, before you deal with it, God. And that's exactly what's going on here with these Israelites. They were stealing from God. They were robbing from God. And they would say, well, it's mine anyway. It was my 10% of what I earned. But they were doing it the wrong way. And they factored God out of the equation. They didn't have to trust in Him. So the point is that God is the provider. Our job is to trust. God is the provider. Our job is to trust. God is the owner. It's all His anyway. Our job is to manage. And then when we manage it and say, okay, I know this is your money, God, but I need some heat. I need to get more oil. I need to get more pellets. I need to get more logs. Thinking cold out. Who controls the weather? God, I get it. But this idea of saying, okay, God, this is yours, and now I have to trust you. I have to trust that you're going to come through like you promised. And we just looked at one passage where God's talking about actually giving. But the Bible is full of God saying, I've got your back. I'm there for you. I love you. I care about you. I've got your back. I think we sang a song about that. Cast your cares on Him. He will lift us up. He will provide for us. He will come through. I mean, it's full of that. So the Bible is covered, immersed in this idea of God being the one that is providing. And when it comes to our money, our job is to trust Him. So, how does this work? I want you to understand that this concept, and I went back and forth with these two phrases, but this idea of trusting first, and then right away, immediately, give second. Trust first, give second. Trust, give, trust, give, trust, give. Trust, give, trust, give, trust, give. It's not trust, decide if it will work out, then give. It's not, well, it's not going to work out, and don't trust, and don't give. It's not give, and then being like, well, if I do this, I'll get rich. Nope. Trust first. Give second. Trust, give, trust, give. And that might be literally a one moment, one instantaneous action of, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. Here we go. Trust first, give second. So how do we do this? And this is, I'm going to get a little practical here for you. And again, we'll kind of keep building on some of these concepts over the next 2 weeks here in this series. But the first thing is, start by asking God. And I think one of the things that's important, if you go to a restaurant, a table service restaurant, the bill comes and you pay the bill. And then what do you do next? In addition to your bill, what do you do? What? You tip. Why? Is there an instruction on the bill that says, please tip? Sometimes there are, and you're like, shut up. And then there's the ones where they take it from you ahead of time. We just want you to know that we deducted this from your card. What? Take a family of six anywhere. You see that, parties of six or more? Automatic gratuity. Anyway. But you tip. Nowhere on the... I mean, there's no rules that say that. There's nothing that's there. And then the next question is, how much do you do? How much do you tip? Throw it out there. Yell. 15, 18, 20. Double the first number. I'll have to think about that one. Or you double the tax. It's 12%. But you know that because someone taught you. Because someone explained how this is supposed to work. And I kind of want to do that now for you. It's kind of like say, well, how does this work? You're in church. We pass an offering bucket. You know, what is that for? If you're new to following Jesus or any of that, or maybe you've been in other churches and there are all different ways. Like, why do we do this? How does it work? That's what I want to do. I want to explain to you what this, you understand how to tip. I want to explain to you what giving is like, how it works. And the first step is start by asking God. So we talked about this last week, and I said, if it's all God's, how much do we give? What do? Do we give it all to Him? Do we not worry about feeding our family or providing for our needs? And I said, I don't know, because I sometimes feel like the providing for my needs argument becomes, well, I really need a brand new car, and I really need, I don't know, but maybe you do. Maybe you have a job and it requires you to go somewhere and you just can't get a used car to get there because you have to drive into the middle of a swamp. I don't know. That's your job. You're the swamp guy. And so maybe you do. And the point is that I can't tell you what that looks like. I think that the big challenge that we have is to be careful that we don't allow providing for our needs, providing for our family, to be an excuse to just sit on our butts and keep our money. So what do? We ask God. What does God want us to do? God, what do you want me to do with your money? And that's going to require, there's an assumption here too, that you have a relationship with Jesus. That you're connecting with Him. You're praying about these things. And you're saying, God, what do you want me to do? Start by asking God. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says this to the church in Corinth. He says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. You must each decide in your heart. So right away, Paul says, this is in the Bible, New Testament, that the tithe principle doesn't apply to us today. You need to decide in your heart, what do you want to give? And then he says, don't give reluctantly or response to pressure.
Well, you're pressuring me right now.
Maybe. But maybe I'm not pressuring you. Maybe God is speaking to you. And you need to say, God, what do you want me to give? Because I'm not telling you what that looks like. I'm not telling you how much that is. You need to decide in your heart. And don't do it under pressure. God loves the person who gives cheerfully. Why does God love a person who gives cheerfully? The Greek word is hilarious. One who is full of joy. Because when you start to give, you see God come through. And then you're like, whoa, let me do it again. And all of a sudden, you, who make like nothing, are being used by God to change people's eternities. Or even their temporary lives right now. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And then what does he say? And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need. There's a lot of very concrete, long, permanent words. All, everything, and plenty left over to share with others. So how do you know what to give? You ask God. God, what do you want me to give? And then listen. And do it. We'll get to that in a second. But it's easy to be like, okay, I think God wants me to do this. Okay. I'm not going to do it. But I prayed about it. That's good, right, God? No, that sounds like someone who's just not walking the wire. So I'm not willing to actually be all in following Jesus. We're just willing to listen but not do anything about it. He says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. So that's the first step. Is God, what do you want me to give? What does that look like? And maybe that's money. Maybe that's selling something so that you have money to give. Maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's an extra job on the side you take. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not going to answer that for you. And it doesn't look the same for me either, just so you know. Okay, God, here's a need. Is this something that you want me to be a part of? God, how much do you want me to give? And I thought ATU last week was just spot on. I love the way Wilson pointed out and Tina, right? Yeah, Tina, yeah. And about how, you know, even when you get a bonus, like, do we automatically see it? Oh, that bonus is mine. Christmas time's coming up. Why do we assume it's ours? It's all God's, right? Oh, I got a refund for this thing I wasn't expecting. Well, what are you going to do with that? God, how much do you want me to give? What do you want me to do? So that's the first step, is you must start by asking God. The second thing is start with a percentage. And again, we're getting really practical here. The Old Testament percentage was, of course, 10. Right. So start with a percentage. And if your percentage is currently 0, 10 is a whole lot. I get that. So start somewhere. Okay, God, what do you want me to give? And maybe God's saying, you know what? You have been ignoring me for years. Step up with 10. Maybe he says 20. It's okay. You can't outgive God. I've heard that phrase in church. Like, God's not going to be like, oh, sorry, too much. I don't know what to do now. God will just keep blessing you back. But you have to start with a percentage. That's my recommendation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul, again talking to the church in Corinth, he says, now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. He said, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. So what does he say? What do you make? Well, save a percentage of it. Because it's a lot easier to say, everybody gives $50. I'd like you to give $50 every week to MJ3. No, because you're not giving to MJ3. It's worship to God. We'll get to that in 2 weeks. But $50, that means a lot to different people. That's he says, according with your income. What do you make? What do you bring in? And be real. And you can talk before tax, after tax. I don't care. You can work that out with God. But if you're like, eh, $2. Here you go, God, $2. But maybe that's your starting point. He says, set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up. So this is a decision ahead of time. You get that? This isn't a, well, I don't know. Oh, here comes the bucket. Crap. Oh, my God. Oh, there's a dollar. God, you love me. We're tight. No. It's this idea of saying, okay, I have planned ahead. Because I'm deciding, okay, what is it? I'm going to start with a percentage. What does God want me to do? Okay, God, 3%. All right, start with 3%. And we're going to talk in a couple of weeks here, too. This idea of, like, when we come together, watch what God can do. This idea of, like, well, that's not much. Oh, don't ever say that. Because you're dealing with God, the God of the universe. But again, that's next week. So start by asking God, start with a percentage. And again, this is an intentional, ahead-of-time decision. This isn't a last-minute, I don't know, well, whatever. You need to work it out with God. The third thing is start with the first fruits. First fruits is a phrase that, you know, I honestly did a lot of research trying to find it outside of the Bible, and I couldn't. It's a biblical term. Again, looking at the Old Testament and these people that were a farming society, and the idea that as a farmer, there was the crop that was be first. And God is very clear to the Israelite people that God doesn't get the leftovers. Hear me. God doesn't get the leftovers. Because when we give God the leftovers, we don't need to trust Him anymore because, well, this is extra. God demands from the Israelite people, give me the first fruits. I want that 10% out of the first. Well, God, we've been working for months and this crop is finally ready and now it's time to bring in the income. Yes, and give it to me because it's mine and watch what I will do. Test me and I will blow you away. Because when it's at the end, we're like, eh, this is extra. I've already worked it all out. Well, you don't need me, God says. start with the first fruits. This idea of giving from the beginning. And if you were, again, in prime groups, if you're not in prime groups, you're missing out on an incredible study that we're doing right now called The Treasure Principle, based on what we're talking about in this series. And the one guy was saying how he would give once he went through and paid all of his bills, and then whatever was ever left over, then he would, you know, tithe off of that. And he said, you know what, your budget's upside down. That it's giving first, and then trusting God to come through. So he says, start with the first fruits. In Mark chapter 12, and we looked at this whatever night your prime group is, I looked at it on Tuesday night. In Mark chapter 12, it says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. You've probably heard this before. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Now that's a pretty significant percentage. So I would probably not suggest starting at 100%. If God says do it, then do it and watch him come through. But that's what this woman's doing. But the issue, I'm ignoring the woman right now. I'm looking at the Pharisees, the rich people. Because they're like, here's $1,000, here's $2,000, God, I'm so great. And Jesus is saying, look, that was just their leftover. They were rich, so they had a lot of leftover. But this woman, she didn't give out of her leftovers. She gave to God first. And that is the issue. That's where this trusting really comes into play. Because when we give God what's left over, again, we've worked it out. We don't need him to come through. But if God says, do it, and watch him come through. He applauded this woman. It's not about the money, and we'll talk about that next week. It's not about the amount. It's about our heart saying, God, this is what you want me to do. I don't know how it's going to work out, God, but you want me to do it, so I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to do it. And he says, test me. And watch me come through. So, start by asking God. First step. Start with a percentage. Whatever, you know, God, what do you want me to give? Okay, maybe that percentage is 2%. And that's real, because if your income fluctuates, your percentage, it scales. It scales with that. I hope that makes sense to you. And then start with the first fruits. Don't give God the leftovers. Give God the first. Say, God, and honestly, this is what we do. We give online. We do our online banking. But the first thing that comes out is our gift, our offering to MC3 from the top. And if we get to the bottom and it doesn't work out, well, God's just going to have to come through now and do what he says he's going to do. Start with the first fruits. Finally, start. Start. Do it. God, what do you want me to do? What does that percentage look like? Here, God, you're getting that percentage off of the top, and then do it. Okay, here. And I am telling you, the worship factor increases. Because all of a sudden, it's not like, oh, here's the bucket, time to do that thing while I can pass it on. It's now an opportunity to say, God, I'm trusting you. I am putting me in this bucket, because if you don't come through, me and my family are in trouble. And so this is an issue of saying, God, I'm trusting you. So, I think all of you, every family should have gotten one of these cards. We're going to have them available all series long. And this, as I shared last week, this card is between you and God, and it is not going to leave your hands, not by our call. We'll talk about that later. But you're not giving this away, is what I'm saying. And if you look at this card, it says this: God is leading me or us. And I have that in there on purpose, because if you and your spouse are not in agreement about this, spend some more time praying together. And maybe one of you needs to say, okay, am I really trusting not in God? Am I trusting in my income? Am I trusting my checkbook? Because honestly, that's usually what it comes down to. But you have so much faith, but we all need to have that kind of faith. So together, this needs to be a joint decision in your family. If you're a teenager and you have income, then you can fill out your own, certainly. If you're a 4-year-old and you have your own income, you can do it too. So that's kind of the idea. This is for you, and you're saying, I'm starting by praying and asking God, and God is leading me to increase my giving too. And I'm asking everybody, increase your giving. What does God want you to do? How can we step out and trust Him more? And if you're giving 10%, great. Maybe God wants you to give 11. Why? Because we can trust Him and watch Him come through. And again, next week, we're going to talk about what does this mean? What does it mean when we actually do this? What can God do with what we give Him? But we'll get to that. God is leading us to increase our giving to what percentage? You pray, you ask, this card is for you. You have it in your hand so that you can write that down and remember it. So you can hold on to it. It's small, you can stick it in your wallet, you can stick it in your purse, you can stick it in your checkbook. You can even put it inside the cover of your phone. As an act of faith and worship, get that. This isn't about us building a new building, fixing our heaters, stopping the dripping. It's nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with worshiping God. And therefore, so, ready? I'm going to get it all practical here because I need it to be this way. We make about a certain dollar amount per month. What does your family make per month? Put that in there. That should be, it's probably fairly stable. Probably have a general idea of what that looks like. You know, this isn't an issue of like, oh no, I think I rounded up by the next penny. Like, no, it's cool. This isn't an issue of God. I don't know. It's to you and God. So don't sweat those details. But what does that look like? So I make about this much money a month. So maybe I make, $750 a month. Which means I or we will give. And then, so let's say you feel that God wants you to tithe. I'm going to be 10%. God wants you to give 10%. You make $750 a month. Therefore, God wants you to give how much per month? $75. So we will give $75 per month. Starting this month. Why? Because we want your money. Again, I hope we'll be on this now. Because if we wait and say, oh, I'll do it when never comes. And God wants you to trust Him right now. And frankly, if you're like, I really feel challenged by today, God, you are speaking to me. I'm pretty sure that you can find Justin or Michelle and say, can we add this to the offering? I don't think they're going to say, no, sorry, you got to wait till next week, you missed your shot. But the idea is, let's do it. Let's put some action to what's going on. So that's what this card is for. It's between you and God. You as a family say, okay. And this is to be concrete. So the next month, too, you can be like, okay, right. I need to give this much. And I know that I only make this much. And I really have bills that are around $900 a month. But I'm just going to trust God because He told me to do it. So I'm going to give my $75 per month. And therefore, on the other side, this act of faith, it says there at the top of the card, the next slide, please. It says in Malachi 3 verse 10, God says to test Him by giving in faith. We did, and here's how He came through over the past 6 months. So I want you to hold on to this card, and so you're like, this is a big step. And then start, I know it's really small, but start filling. What did God do? How did He come through? Write them down when they have it. Keep this with you so you can do that. And celebrate. Wow, God told me to test Him. I felt like this was a stretch, and I'm trusting Him. And look what He did. Look how He came through. Don't miss these things. And then in a couple of months, I'm looking at 5th Sunday, April, which is about 6 months from now, give or take. I'm hoping to have an event, something for all of us to kind of come together and celebrate this. Again, that's what I meant about you're not giving the card in, but you might need to share what God has done. So I want us to come together in 6 months. Because test Him. Give Him 6 months. Try it out. See if God like says, nah, sorry, you're a loser. I didn't mean you. Because if we truly trust Him, He's going to provide. So that's what these cards are for. They'll be available all series long for you to grab, just as a reminder to keep. You fill it out. You do what God wants you to do. You've got some time. In your prime groups, we're going to continue to chew on this idea of the treasure principle of not storing up our money now, but saving it, putting it on ahead. Trusting God with it, because God is the provider. And our job is to trust. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much that You truly are. You are God. I mean, it's all Yours. It's all in Your hands. It's all in Your control. All of our stuff, our jobs, our families, our needs. I mean, as a father and a husband, I have some responsibility to my wife and my kids, but I don't control them. They're not in my hands. They're in Yours. And I thank You that we can trust You and that You are the provider and that You don't say, figure it out. You don't say, give, and then hopefully it works out for you. You tell us to give and then to test You on it. That You're going to come through for us. And so I pray, God, I pray that in our hearts that this would be a decision that we can say, God, what do you want me to give? How do you want me to give? What is that going to look like? And then trust you to come through and watch you do it, God. I pray that you would help us to do that. Thank you for this example. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing in my heart as I continue to be challenged about what I think is my money and my stuff. Help us to give to you in worship and watch you blow us away. In Jesus' name, amen.